Thank you for joining us on the New Bridge Radio Show. You can also catch us online at newbridgeradio.com. Find us on Facebook under New Bridge Radio Show or follow us on Twitter at New Bridge Radio. Now let's connect you with what's next.
Welcome back to the New Bridge Radio Show. I am your host, Kevin Mackey, and I am thrilled to be here. Welcome to September. If you didn't know, it is the full moon, and don't let yourself miss the opportunity to go out and take a look at it. I got to tell you, I am very, very thrilled for today's show. I have a very, very special guest with me. I am lucky enough to have William Lee Rand. And William Lee Rand is founder and president of the International Center for Reiki Training, ICRT, the Center for Reiki Research, and the Reiki Membership Association. He is also the publisher and editor-in-chief of the Reiki News magazine, which the fall edition is coming up now. And there are some great articles in there. One that William has wrote himself, Becoming Who You Are Meant to Be. And there's also one by Anne Baldwin, a PhD, Reiki and Emotional Stress. You'll definitely want to check that out. You can find those on www.reiki.org. William has authored Reiki, The Healing Touch, The Reiki Touch Kit, Reiki for the New Millennium, The Spirit of Reiki, and over 100 articles on the history, philosophy, and practice of Reiki. William has done extensive research on the origin and nature of Reiki and produced a pioneering work titled An Evidence-Based Reiki History. William is the originator of the Usui Tibetan system of Reiki, which he developed in 1989. In 1995, with the help of some of his students, he developed the Karuna Reiki system of healing. In January 2014, he introduced the Holy Fire system of Reiki, which was upgraded to Holy Fire 2 in November 2015, and then upgraded to Holy Fire 3 in September 2018. And It is my great privilege and honor to have William on our show. Hey, William, welcome to the New Bridge Radio Show.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, great to be here. Wow. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to death that I get to have you. I know, William, that you are an extensive world traveler, and I'm just curious to know, are you in the United States at the moment?
Yes, I am. I'm in Michigan right now.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So, I know that Michigan has some pretty spectacular seasons, and is fall beginning for you there in Michigan?
It hasn't begun yet, although it's starting to get a little cooler, especially at night. But, you know, we see fall as the changing of the color of the leaves, and that hasn't happened yet down here. Now, the Upper Peninsula, you know, we have two peninsulas and is more northern. They may be seeing some of that right now.
Oh, perfect. I got to tell you, it's my favorite time of the year. And when it starts happening, so I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and when it starts happening here in Washington State, it kind of begins in August and it lasts 4 months. It's fantastic.
Wow.
But yeah, I know. It's unusual to have four seasons now, because I originally came from Colorado and we had two, winter and summer.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm so happy to have you, because there are a lot of people who probably might listen to this podcast or radio program, and they might have kind of an inkling to investigate Reiki. This is something that happened to me. I had no desire or clue about Reiki until it showed up on my doorstep and opened a path for me. And so that's one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to have you on here, just so people can hear from a real Reiki master how Reiki has changed them and how it's evolved over the years. And in reading about you and doing research, I found you unbelievably fascinating. And what I found interesting was, in high school, you were very interested in metaphysics and healing. So from a very young age, you had this desire to become a healing person. What were you like in high school, and what was influencing you at that time?
Well, you know, I had a strong interest in science, very much interested in science. And so those were my favorite classes. I got straight A's in science and physics and chemistry and things like that. So that was my main interest. At that time, I really didn't comprehend too much about metaphysics. Of course, you know, went to church and learned about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and things like that. But I didn't really know of too much beyond that. It was just after high school that I got more involved with it. But I had read in high school, I read a book called The Power of Positive Thinking and began to realize, well, gee, you know, we have more abilities within us than what is normally taught in school. And just by having a very positive attitude, you can create a more positive life for yourself. Mm-hmm. So that was very meaningful for me. I had been raised as by a father who was very restrictive and intimidating and made me feel inferior. And I realized that actually it was my self-image that was causing problems and that I could change that by the use of positive affirmations. And so I began doing that and found that while I was sensitive to the negativity from my father, I was also sensitive to the positive energy of positive affirmations. And so I was able to turn things around and became more confident and self-assured.
Uh-huh. And this was while you were still in high school?
Yeah, just as I was in the 12th grade. Yep.
Oh, nice. So how did you come across Reiki? How did you discover it?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, you know, I had heard about an organization called the Rosicrucians, and I wanted to join, but at 18, you had to have your parents' permission. My parents would not give me permission. And so I had to wait till I was 21, and I joined immediately. My parents were very dismayed that I had done that. But they had a very solid understanding of metaphysics, and so that was my first encounter with any real teachings about it. And I also read a book called The Power of Positive, well, I said The Power of Positive Thing, but also Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That also was, it wasn't just about, you know, making money. It was also about the power of the mind and how you can manifest your own reality. So that was quite interesting to me. But I didn't get involved with Reiki until quite a period of time after that. Not until I was, how old was I? Let's see. I was in my 30s at that time. And anyway, I took a rebirthing class. And rebirthing is a way of going back to your original first breath. And then at that time, when a person is born, they do take their first breath, and then they become aware of the world, and they start forming their ideas about what the world is about. And those become your foundation thoughts. And on top of that is what's built the rest of your life. So in rebirthing, you go back to that first breath and do it again, only in a very positive environment, because often the style of giving birth, the doctor holds the baby upside down and spanks it to get it to start breathing. And the first thoughts then are, well, the world is based on pain, and you have to feel pain in order to become alive and to breathe. And so, of course, that isn't very positive. Baby starts crying with their first breath. So with rebirthing, you go back and redo that first breath in a very positive environment and reestablish a foundation of happiness and positivity and connecting with your higher potential in life. So I took a week-long retraining in that by Leonard Orr, who started rebirthing. But there was he was very open to other healing modalities. And so he asked if there was anyone else that would like to share what they were doing. One woman stood up and started talking about Reiki. And at that point, I hadn't really heard about it. And she said that Reiki was very easy to learn, that you don't have to study for a long time to actually be able to do it, but you receive the ability immediately through what's called an attunement. Mm-hmm. And now the Rosicrucians said, don't believe something just because someone says it's true. So I said, well, okay, that's a nice idea. But I'm not going to just accept it because she's saying it. The Rosicrucian said, learn from experience. So I said, ah, wow. And she said also that the energy itself directs itself. And so I had learned healing with a kahuna I had worked with. He's the Hawaiian shaman. And with that, you build up energy by breathing and meditating, and then you direct it with your own mind. But she was saying, this woman's name was Bethel Fay, and she had learned from Takata Sensei, who had brought Reiki to the West. She said that you don't direct the energy with your mind, it directs itself. And so there were two ideas there that I didn't quite know if they were true or not. I wasn't saying they weren't, but I just didn't know for sure. And so, you know, Reiki directs itself and that you receive the ability through an attunement. And so I thought, well, gee, how can I learn from experience about this? Well, the next day she talked to us again, the group, and she said she had talked to Leonard and that there would be enough time in our workshop where she could actually give a Reiki training. And I said, yes, that's it. I can learn from experience. So I took her training. And then during the attunement, I just became very still and an observer. I felt the energy zoom down through the top of my head, down to the root chakra, came back up, exploded out of my heart. And I could see little chunks of something being blown out. And I thought, yeah, that's real.
Right.
I was just an observer. You know, I wasn't thinking anything, just watching. And that happened. And then when I put my hands on people, I could feel it pulsing through me. And also when they received Reiki from others, I could feel their Reiki coming through me too. And it was very powerful. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was more powerful than what I had learned from the shaman, the kahuna that I studied with, because with him, you had to study for a long period of time and gradually acquire greater ability. But with Reiki, you get it right away. And so right. I thought, wow, this is amazing. And so I was quite impressed with it. And I got level one Reiki in that training. So very happy I had kind of stumbled into it. Exactly. And then about a year later, the teacher, Bethel, asked if I knew anyone else that would be interested. She said she was going to have a level two class. And did I know anyone that might be interested in the class that had level one? So I knew a few people. So I started, recruiting for her. But the fee was $500. And back then, in the 80s, actually, that was a lot of money. It was more like $2,000 or $3,000 or something like that. And I didn't have that much money. So I started recruiting for her. And finally, she called me and said, well, William, you've recruited so many students. You can now take the class for free.
I said, wow.
Yes. Okay. So I got level two Reiki. And that was great. And very happy with that. And had questions for Bethel, though. And I asked her basically, well, what's next after this? And she says, well, it's the master level and it's $10,000. And I go, $10,000? How could it be? Because level one was 175, level two is 500. And now $10,000. I said, why is it $10,000? Her response was, now don't try and talk me out of it. It's $10,000. That's the price. I'm not going to change it. And I said, well, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I just want to know, why is there such a big jump in price? And she said, well, it's because Reiki is so easy to acquire. The master level is just a few days and it's very easy. There's the attunement for it and you get it. And we charge $10,000 to instill respect, so that people have respect for the master level. And I thought to myself, well, I don't have to pay money to have respect for something. I determine the value of it by what it does, my experience of it. And, but Bethel said something else very important. She said, well, Reiki can also guide your life. It can heal your life. Mm-hmm. And that people live their lives based on different ideas or experiences and information about what they're supposed to be doing. But she said there's actually a path that's exactly right for each person, and that Reiki can help you become aligned with that path so that you'll follow the path that's just right for you. Right. And I thought, yeah, now that's something I really want. And I noticed what she was saying was, seemed true for me too, that I had kind of bounced around doing a lot of different things, but there was no guidance and no direction it seemed to be going in. So I started saying a prayer. And the prayer was, guide me and heal me so that I might be of greater service to others. And so that was my intention, asking Reiki to guide my life. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I started doing that, things changed. And I was living in Hawaii at the time. And I thought, well, I'm just going to stay here the rest of my life.
Right.
And yeah, and like everybody. And that was my plan. But suddenly I had to move. And I thought, well, of course, it's because there's a better place for me to live. And I actually did find a nicer place. But I had to move again and again and again. And I had a friend that had moved to San Francisco. And so I said a prayer, another prayer too, just asking, well, why is this happening? And the answer was very short. It said, before you were doing that, and now you're doing this. Uh-huh. I'm going, this? What's this? Is it moving? I'm moving? You know, because I was there, stable and everything. And now it's like I'm moving around, having lived in different places. And it was getting more difficult for me to find a place to live. I had to keep moving. And I had my friend in San Francisco, and he said, well, hey, you can come hang out with me. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing was that back then there was a guy named Tony Robbins, and I know he's more popular now, but back then he wasn't well known. And he was having a certification training in NLP, and it was 2 weeks, and it was $2,500.
Wow.
And again, I didn't have $2,500, right. But I had a friend who had been a movie star in Japan, and she didn't act like it, but apparently she did have, you know, some extra money. And so she had taken the Tony Robbins workshop with me, and I told her about what Tony was doing. He was going to have this certification training, and it was $2,500. And she said, are you going? And I said, well, I can't afford $2,500. And she says, I'll loan you the money. And she said, on top of that, you're going to need extra cash. So, you know, for spending money, I'll give you another $500. I'll loan you $3,000. You can pay me back anytime you want. I go, wow. So I went there and I took his certification training, became certified in NLP. I moved to San Francisco and was doing NLP there. Also, I had studied astrology. I was a professional astrologer. I was doing astrology. And I also past life regression therapy. I was doing all those. And it worked out for a while, but after a while, I started running out of money. So I called my parents and said, hey, look, I've got this great thing going here. I'm doing really well. But, you know, like all businesses, once in a while, you need, you know, some money to invest in your business to keep it going. And can you loan me $1,000 to keep my business going? And my mother said, you know, I called her back about a week later. She says, well, I talked over your father. We can't loan you any money. But actually, you can come back home here and live with us. And I had moved to get away from them because I, you know, I mean, like a lot of people my age, and the parents are, you know, kind of hokey. And I just, right. But anyway, she said that I could go back there. And I thought, gee, what should I do? And so I said another prayer, uh-huh. You know, what should I do here? And the energy had said, give it a try. So I'm thinking, give it a try. What's that?
Right.
And
exactly. Do you know?
But I thought, well, it means if it's give it a try, it means there must be something there I'm not aware of, and I would benefit from if I went back there. Uh-huh. And aha, okay. So then I thought, I'm going to go back there. I'm going to keep my eyes wide open and see whatever lesson is I'm supposed to learn. Then, as fast as I can, go back to Hawaii. So, moved in with my parents and. That didn't work out that well. And I moved out into a place where everybody in that house did some sort of spiritual development training or self-improvement or things like that. And then I began hearing rumors that there was someone in the area teaching the master level of Reiki, but they weren't charging $10,000. They were only charging $500.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, $500, can it be real? You know, because how would they charge $500? So it's $10,000. So I met with a person. Her name was Diane McCumber. I asked, why are you charging only $500? Is this the same thing as the regular Reiki where they charge $10,000? And she said, yeah, it is. And I said, why are you only charging $500? She said, well, yes, you're right. The $10,000 fee is what Takata charged. And all of her masters charge it, except one of them that Takata trained, Iris Ishikiro, decided to train two people for $500. And she trained her daughter, who never really practiced, and she trained a man named Arthur Robertson. And Robertson was a teacher of Tibetan shamanism, and it was very easy for him to begin teaching Reiki. And it was the authentic lineage and everything, but he charged $500. And this had just started to happen. So I thought, okay, good. So it's the right lineage and everything. So I took the master training. And for $500, man, I was a Reiki master, boom. And so then I started teaching classes, and things just ramped up, and I became more and more successful, eventually teaching master level. And at that time, most of the people were having to pay $10,000 for mastership, and I was charging just $500. So my business went really well. And I was invited to go down to the Caribbean and teach. I was invited to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I started traveling around and just things went really well. And interestingly, Robertson had created an alternate type of Reiki called Raku Ki. Uh-huh. Based on this Tibetan shamanism. So he combined Tibetan shamanism and Reiki and created Raku Ki. And I took that. I studied that. Also, I also studied the Usui system, the authentic Usui system. So I had both of them. And I thought, well, what should I do here? And, you know, I could teach both of them. But I thought, why not merge them together? And so then I created the Usui Tibetan system and started teaching that. That went really well. And I started getting invited all over the place, into Canada, and all over the U.S., eventually to England. Uh-huh. And down to South America and all over the world, and, you know, teaching classes. And but one thing that happened that really influenced me quite a bit is when I first got Reiki, and that was back in Hawaii, I went for a walk after I got the first level, and the energy spoke to me, and it said, this energy can be developed. And so I was always lurking to find out, how could I develop this energy? Mm-hmm. And so the traditional teaching, though, wasn't that it could be developed. It was that was it. Like, you get Reiki 1, that's what you've got.
Exactly.
And then you get Reiki 2, you've got 2. And then Master, that's what you got. But there was nothing in it about developing. But the energy told me it could be developed. So I was always looking on how to do that. And so I was playing with the attunement processes and getting guidance and so forth. And also, the kahuna said something really meaningful to me. He said that he had studied with 9 other kahunas.
Oh, and perfect. Said,
yeah.
This is a perfect segue, William. We're going to have to take a break. But sure. You have such a unique lineage, and I definitely want people to hear this part of your story because it really is profound. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from our sponsors. So we're going to sneak away, and we will be right back in a few moments. Maggie Reiki is a full-service Reiki therapy center offering both in-person and distance Reiki sessions. Reiki is a gentle healing energy that can assist in clearing, repairing, and maintaining energy that is vital for optimal health. Reiki can also assist with anxiety, depression, and even addiction. You can schedule a Reiki session by visiting our website, www.maggiereiki.com. That's www.maggiereiki.com.
Patreon is a place for creators. We're one of them. Visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/WLTKDB. Check out all the unique support tiers we offer. You can get early release episodes, station mugs and t-shirts, free station service work, and much more. Help the station reach its $1,000 per month goal to make our station totally ad-free. Patreon.com/WLTKDB. We appreciate your support.
You are confident and everything is going your way now.
You are unstoppable and capable of doing whatever it takes.
Welcome back to the New Bridge Radio Show. I am your host, Kevin Mackey, and I am delighted to have my special guest, William Lee Rand, with me. And William Lee Rand is a Reiki master teacher, and he has the most unique Reiki lineage of most Reiki practitioners. And he's just about to tell us about that and how he decided to learn from more than one Reiki teacher. So welcome back, William. Thanks for coming on the show. And let's hear about your Reiki lineage.
Sure. Yeah. Now, as I said, I had studied with a kahuna, and he had studied with 9 other kahunas. And he said that the way of the kahuna is always to seek more knowledge and learn. And he said that the kahunas can learn from anyone. That every single person has something that would be valuable for you to know. And if you ask the right questions, you can learn that. And he said also, it's very good to have someone else that you work with who is psychic, can read your aura and give you feedback about yourself, about your own development. Because even though as we grow and develop, we do develop a spiritual abilities, to have someone else outside of us to reflect back on us and give us their opinion about what we need to do, you learn more than what you can learn by yourself. And so he said that's a very important thing to do. And so I was always on the lookout for the very best clairvoyant healers I could find and to get feedback from them. And I was guided to one woman, her name was Janice Jones, and she was very, very good. And she helped me develop my ability with Reiki. She worked with angels. She worked with the Ascended Masters. And then she also worked with Jesus. And also at that time, there was a guru named Sai Baba. And some people have heard of Sai Baba. He had passed on a while ago. But so anyway, she got her inspiration by doing, you know, clairvoyantly from different spiritual sources. And so I was working with her, and she was helping me to develop my abilities. And then one day, you know, we were working with the Reiki energy and to get the energy to be stronger and stronger. And she was working with Jesus, and Jesus was not in any sense religious, but a spiritual advisor, like a spiritual master in that sense. And then one day Jesus came in and said that he had a new energy for me to work with, but I had to give up some of the other techniques and things I was using in order for me to receive it. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And then, and he said, and you're going to teach this tomorrow, this new energy. And it was a very, very different style. Now, the style that Reiki is taught in, has been taught in, is doing the attunement. It's like a hands-on thing. So the teacher comes up to each student, puts hands on his shoulders, looks down through the top of the head, does a special breathing process, and draws symbols and so forth, comes around to the front, taps the hands, and uses symbols there, and comes around the back and so forth. It's a very physical, touching the student type of thing. But I was told I would not do that. And I was told that by doing that, it actually reduces the quality of the energy that's possible, because the energies must flow through the teacher, and the teacher's energy field slows the energy down. And that if you did it in a different way, the energy can go directly to the student and not have to go through the teacher. And I was told that would be more powerful. And so, of course, this is completely different. And what I was told is all I was going to do was a brief guided meditation, then stop talking, and the energy would go to each of the students. Now, I was very skeptical, and I was worried about it. You know, is this going to work? Because people paid money, and they traveled a long way to see me, and I'm going to do this? And so I went ahead and did it. We were outside. This is on Maui, Hawaii. And I did my brief guided meditation, and then I was so worried, I just stood up and went in the house and into my room. And so I was waiting. Then I heard a commotion. I realized people come out. I come back out, and people are sitting in the circle. And I said, who would like to share about what happened? And this woman would say, I would. And she said that she was very skeptical. Because I was doing the attunement so differently than the way it had been done in the past for her. And that she said that something profound took place. That after I got up and went in the house, a very strong wind came and went around my chair and began going around and around very fast, like a tornado going around my chair. Then the chair shot straight up in the air and was blown 100 yards away. And everybody was just sitting there with their mouths open, like they had just received an attunement and they're already altered. And then the chair does that. They're like, So, she said, though, that she had asked for a physical manifestation to take place so that she would know for sure that something had happened. And she said that was her manifestation. So she knew absolutely it had worked. And then in talking with each of the students, they all had profound experiences. And in fact, the energy was even stronger. And so that was a learning experience. And so with that, that's out of that developed Holy Fire Reiki. And Holy Fire Reiki is involved in a process where the teacher does not physically interact with the students, but allows the energy to go directly to the student.
Yep,
and that's why it's more powerful.
I got to experience this. So I'm a Holy Fire Reiki person myself.
Great. Oh, good.
And it was a very profound experience for me. And sometimes this is funny. When you had the Reiki 2 upgrade, I was like, well, I kind of don't know if I need it because I feel like this is powerful enough.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a great amount of heat involved in Holy Fire Reiki. And when you started to develop it, when it started coming, did you notice a difference in yourself as well?
Like it was profound.
Yeah.
It was so powerful. And it was, I was sitting there after I had given the, what we happened too is we were told, don't call them attunements. This is a different process. Call them ignitions. And we were told, and I could actually see it, that the flame of the holy fire is ignited in each person. And it's called an ignition because it ignites the flame.
Right.
And so, I could see a flame coming up around me when they started to teach it. And the students also had similar experiences, or they reported flames coming from their hands. And so it was much more powerful. And we were quite impressed with it.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then when we got to Holy Fire 3, there was a new set of knowledge, I guess you'd say, and that we were shown that people have different aspects of themselves. And one of the things that people have is called the dormant self.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you've heard of that, the dormant self.
Yep.
And it's a part of ourselves that, in our society, we're not taught how to heal. All we're shown is like, don't do that. Like, parents or teachers, stop that. Be good. Don't do that. And so people learn to shove their stuff down and then act like they don't have it. And so that eventually gets shoved down so hard that the person forgets that it's there. It's no longer aware of it. But it's still inside, and it's still actually manifesting things, and it actually attracts to each person the parts of themselves that they don't like, the parts they shove down, they're not aware of. So they see people they don't like, and they have issues with them, and they don't like them. So they actually, in psychology, they call it projection. So the dormant self contains all the parts of ourselves that we are told we shouldn't have, and we simply push them down inside, to the point where we forgot about them, but they still attract to us. People are just like that. And then we're judgmental about them. So the dormant self is difficult to heal because we don't know it's there. But with Holy Fire 3, it's able to heal the dormant self. And so it can go in to that level and awaken and then release and heal the parts of ourselves that we shove down inside and they're pretending it aren't there. So we learned about the dormant self.
Exactly.
Then another part of ourselves that we learned about is called the culturally created self. And so when a child is born, they're very much connected with what we call the authentic self, but they learn the ways of society and societal values and what we're supposed to focus on. And so in order to get along in society, we have to do that. So we develop what's called a culturally created self so that we can interact with others. And there's a certain way for us to be. And if you go to other cultures, you'll see they do things a little differently and they have a different culture. So we have a culturally created self that's separate from and different from our authentic self. So the authentic self is actually the part of us that is authentic. It's actually very, very powerful. And is actually God conscious. And again, we're not speaking in terms of any sort of religious concept. We're speaking more in terms of whatever manifests or created the universe, we're connected to it. And right. That's our authentic self. And so with Holy Fire 3, we start to become more aware of our authentic self, and we start to merge with it so that we become more connected to our own power and our ability to live our lives in a way that's exactly right for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how well has Holy Fire Reiki been received as you've traveled around the world? Have you seen an openness to it?
Well, that's a very good question. It's a very interesting phenomenon. The Holy Fire promotes itself. Uh-huh. So, like, in other words, if it guides me to go somewhere, but get there, it's already prepared. The psychology, the attitudes of the people and so forth, so that they're open to it. And in fact, it recruits students. The energy is out there working to recruit students to come to my classes. So they're already, like people who are on a spiritual path are usually following their intuition. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Fire goes out and it shows them this energy and asks them if they would like it. And then it guides them into a class. So it's actually been very well received in terms of the students that are attracted to my classes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that kind of happened to me, William. You know, at the time when I felt this thing come about, I was terrible. You know, I was a heavy smoker and drank and I heard this lady talk on an audiobook about Reiki, and it was the oddest thing. It's kind of what started a spiritual awakening. The woman was Raven Keyes from New York.
Raven. And, yeah, I know Raven.
Yeah, she has an audiobook about Reiki. And in this audiobook, William, she mentioned her spirit guide, and her spirit guide was an Arapaho chief by the name of Little Raven.
Oh.
And the second she said Little Raven's name, he suddenly showed up in my space.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you know, and I was working at the time, but when he showed up, you kind of feel sort of chills when spiritual people, spirit beings come into your space. And I felt truth chills all over when this Arapaho chief came up, and I said, do you know me? And he said, yes, I know who you are. And so that kind of started the path towards Reiki. And
wow.
I ended up, you know, William is there. So I took Reiki 1 and Reiki 2, and it was just at the beginning, it was 2014, so it was just the beginning of Holy Fire.
Yeah.
And my Reiki master was Nancy Mirfeld. And so yeah. It was a class full of people, and I'm sure they could tell I was a smoker. But despite the fact that, I was not a very spiritual person at that time, you know, I had started this path, and they were welcoming and encouraging to me, even though they probably, knew. And the first day, nothing profound really happened when I had the first ignition. And then we also had attunements then as well.
Yeah.
And nothing really happened. But that second day when we did the second attunement, everything changed then. And it was quite a profound experience. And there could be someone listening now is like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. But you know what? If you are a mess, that's usually when the universe is going to say, hey, you know what? There's the path here where we might be able to fix you. Which is why I'm glad you talked about the dormant self.
Yeah.
If you would. And can you explain just a little bit about, for people who are new, attunements, ignitions, and placements, and the difference between those?
Sure, yeah. Well, the word attunement is generally associated with Reiki. And then we use a different word. We call it an ignition, but it's a very similar thing. And so Normally, if a person wants to be a healer outside of the practice of Reiki, where they don't have attunements, and this is how the kahuna taught also, is you practice and you focus and you meditate. And at first, you're not very good. And gradually over time, through meditation and practice, you get a little better and a little better, a little better. Right. And so it might take several years. You might have to apprentice, say, with a kahuna for 3 or 4 years before you can get anywhere near the way, you know, the abilities the kahuna has. And but with Reiki, we have something very special, which I like I say, I didn't know if it was true or not. We called it the attunement at first. And like I say, now we call it an ignition. It's the same sort of thing. But the attunement immediately gives you the ability to do Reiki healing right away.
Right.
And so it's just a very powerful spiritual experience. So a special energy just comes into your field, into your system, and goes through and opens up the pathways and the channels and empowers you to be able to do Reiki. And then immediately after that, when you put your hands on someone, the energy starts flowing all by itself. Right. And usually you can feel it. And then especially when you receive it, you can feel it. And in class, you know, there are exercises to do where you gain, you use it so that you start to experience it and know that you actually have it. So in other words, you immediately get the ability in the class rather than having to study for years.
Right. What's interesting, I don't know if you've had people, you know, since you've been doing Reiki for a long time, from the beginning, did you ever have clients who said, you know something, William, while you had your hands on me, as you were going, it felt like suddenly there was more than one pair of hands on me.
Now in the traditional teaching of Reiki, there never was any teaching about spirit guides. But Reiki tends to attract a lot of people who have experience with things like that. And so that was something that was added, I guess. I began working with those energies. And so you may put your hands in one spot and then move to another spot, and they'll say, it feels like you didn't move, that your hands are still there. Right. And often it's the, you would call them the spirit guides that are actually still working with you and helping you do the session.
It's something I felt as well as when I was learning Reiki as well, that there were more hands on me than what the Reiki practitioner had done. And I found it quite uplifting when it was happening. It was putting so much energy through me, and I was like, this is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Do you have a lot of people that say that, like, oh, I'm so glad I came because I feel so good right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's in teaching classes, it's like, well, there's the beginning of the class and people haven't gotten Reiki yet and they're wondering what it's all about and what's going on, and then they start to get, you know, first they get the first placement, and then they start to feel it and they go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, I get it. And so, people just gradually come into the awareness of, oh, this is what it is. It's Reiki. So, and when I talk to people about Reiki too, you know, Reiki also, they say, well, what is Reiki? And I start to talk about it, and they say, let me just, you put my hands on you. And they go, oh, I get it. I feel it now. So you just show them by giving them a little Reiki, and then they feel it and they go, oh, I understand it now.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the early precepts of Reiki is the secret art of inviting happiness. And do you find that's been true in your experience with Reiki?
Yes. Yeah. There is a wonderful happiness that comes from the Reiki energy. And it's pretty amazing. So, you know, there's happiness that comes from it, but also over a period of time that deepens as we heal more deeply. So we have, you know, deep-seated issues that are adversely affecting our personalities. And then as we heal, that opens up an even greater level of happiness for us. So it deepens and broadens in our lives, and it just becomes like happy, like it transforms your life. It transforms your understanding of life and your view of life. So, and then, even though, you can almost always see a lot of strife and problems in the world, you tend to focus on what's happening in your world. And that just feels fine. It feels great. So, and then by doing that, though, you actually help other people by being happy yourself and having things go really well for your life. That helps other people. So rather than the scenario where you have to sacrifice and you have to give up things and you have to suffer to help others so that you improve the world, that's not the model of Reiki. Right. The model of Reiki is you get to be happy and heal, and your happiness spreads to other people. And that's how you help them. By you being happy and healthy and strong, you help others. So, exactly. Yeah.
So this, so as you've gone along, you start feeling this need, and I love this part of to talk about that. I want to talk about this for sure. So you start feeling this need to create peace in the world, and so you develop crystal grids to help in this effort.
Yeah,
and you travel from one pole, the South Pole, to the North Pole to leave these grids, and just tell us about that story, how that came about.
Yeah, that is I've always had a strong interest in adventure, and I went to the mountain climbing in the Rockies when I was 17, and I was always interested in things like that. But I had heard of someone that had gone to meditate at the North Pole. His name was Alex Graves, an artist, and I thought, whoa, I want to do that too. Right. And then I read a National Geographic where there was a group going to the North Pole. And then I found out that they're part of this company, this group that actually does that. And so I was able to get, become part of one of the groups that are going up there. So then once that was established, then I started thinking, well, all right, I'll go meditate. Then I thought, well, maybe I should do more than that. Maybe I'll take a crystal and I'll charge it up with Reiki and I'll leave it there. Yeah, that's it. I'll do that. Uh-huh. And I thought, there's something I could do more than that. And I thought, this is a big thing going to the North Pole. So I thought, maybe what I'll do is I'll get crystals and I'll hook them together with copper wires, like a grid pattern. I'll take that. I said, yeah, that's better. That's better. And then I had a friend who was an artist. And he worked with metal. And I thought, maybe I could talk to him. And so out of that, we designed what we call the World Peace Crystal Grid. And it's about a foot in diameter, and it's 12 petals, and it's the shape of the heart chakra. And it's got double terminated crystals on each petal. And in the center, there's a 12-sided pyramid with each facet pointing out to each of the 12 petals. And then underneath that, in the center, there's a symbol from Karuna Reiki for peace, and then there's a symbol from Usui Reiki for the one that increases power and makes things stronger. So those are in the middle. And then the phrase around the outside says, "May the followers of all religions and spiritual paths work together to create peace among all people on earth." And so the idea is that there have been lots of different religions, but often they're opposed to each other. And there have even been religious wars, which seems antithetical to the whole purpose of religion. But so my thought was, well, when the religions work together for peace, then we're going to have peace. So that's the where the phrase came from. And then around the outside, near each of the petals, there's the symbols for the major religions of the world. And there's one for independent spiritual paths, and one also for agnostics and atheists. So it's like, it's meant to include every religious path and religion and spiritual path and so forth. So it's got all of those on it. So it's made of solid copper. Then it has a heavy plating of nickel to protect it, because copper might otherwise corrode very easily. Right. On top of that, it's 24 karat gold. And my artist friend, Steve Burr, made them. And it took them a long time. So they're very well made. And so I took one to the North Pole first. Before I did that, though, I took it to Stonehenge. And I took it some sacred places to charge it up. And then I went to Yellowknife and then up to Resolute, which is the most northerly airport you can go to. And it was from there that we were to take off and fly in this plane called a Twin Otter, and then go up and then to the North Pole. And then on the way, we there was another group that we were going to go pick up this group that was taking the dog sled. So I got to be on the plane that was going to pick up the dog sled team. And they didn't make it to the North Pole. And so we landed. I guess there were ice floes and things blocking them. So we landed, pick up all the dogs and the dog sled onto the plane. And then we took off and went to the North Pole. And I had the peace grid with me. But we couldn't land because it was really foggy. And we came back. And what I talked to the dispatcher, he said, don't worry, I'll get you on another flight. So eventually I got to go up to the, which was the magnetic North Pole, which is exactly the right place to go, because I wanted the magnetic forces working on it. And I went up there and I left it at the magnetic North Pole and I buried it in snow. And it was on a, not on land. It was on over the frozen ocean. And so I hooked it up with a float device. So once the ice melts in the summer, it would gently float down to the bottom of the ocean, which was 14,000 feet deep, and just stay there at the magnetic North Pole. So I did that and had that one completed. And then I thought, that's cool, that's good. But then something kept saying, it's not balanced. I said, what do you mean not balanced? It's okay, it's good. And it said, no, the South Pole, you got to go to the South Pole too. So finally I got convinced, and I found a group that went to the South Pole, went down there. One left one at the South Pole also. And then I have another, I had one also in Jerusalem. Now, there's the old city there. And in Jerusalem, it's the old Jerusalem, it's a walled city. Uh-huh. And it's the Muslims have a sacred place there, and the Christians, it's the most sacred place for Christianity and for Judaism. And for the Muslims, it's like they say it's the second most sacred. So I thought if I could leave one there, that would be fantastic too. So a friend of mine knew someone who owned an art gallery. I wanted to go there and teach a class because the energy around that place was just fantastic. And I went there and taught a class, and I left a peace grid in the old city in the art gallery. So those are the three. And now also, there's one on Mount Karama in Japan where, Reiki was discovered. There's one in my home here, and there's one in my home on Maui. So those are six that were made up and left around. So,
and every month you have a peace meditation where people can focus on these, yes?
That's right. You can download pictures of the grids for free. Or you can get, we have the one at the North Pole. Yeah, for I think it's $8, you can get a laminated, full size picture of it. And then, once a month we do world peace meditations. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has their peace grid, and we take 15 minutes and everybody sends Reiki to the peace grids. They have the photos of the peace grids, so they send Reiki to all the peace grids around the world. And in pray for world peace.
Exactly. And it's well over, you've had something like over 400,000 downloads of that, haven't you?
Yeah, it's amazing. 400,000 is a big number.
Right.
And I don't know if people just download multiple copies or what, but we do have a record of how many downloads there have been, and 452,000, I believe it is. So, it's pretty amazing. a lot of people, you know, have the pictures, and that spreads the, you know, the energy of peace. And, you know, many people are involved with the meditation.
Yeah, and I want people to know about that. So in the last 2 minutes of the show, boy, this hour went by so fast, William.
Oh, yeah.
So in the last 2 minutes of the show, you can find more information about William's books, about his classes on his Reiki site. And your Reiki site is www.reiki.org or R-E-I-K-I, in case you're like my family that didn't know how to spell Reiki at first. So there's this book that I'll recommend for you, William, on the Reiki site. And it is the, I have it myself. It is the Reiki Touch book. And for Reiki practitioners, this thing has been invaluable for me. It's really worn. My copy of it is, people probably wouldn't want to touch it. It's got, you know, coffee rings on it and stuff, but it is excellent. I love that book. And if there are Reiki practitioners who are listening and who haven't heard of William or would like to know more about his Reiki teacher's aids, they can find them on the store of his site. And you have classes coming up here shortly. Yes, William?
Yeah, I've got classes. Oh, another thing that happened is we started to teach online because of the virus problem. Right. And we got an upgrade. We got an upgrade in our energy so that we could teach online. And it's very, very powerful, very effective.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. So check that out on William's site, www.reiki.org. I want to tell you, William, it has been an absolute privilege to have you on the show. And I can't thank you enough for agreeing to come on. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. And I hope you have a great rest of the week, dear listener. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can at www.newbridgeradio.com. And you can also find us on WLTKDB, Digital Broadcasting. Thank you to my producer, Todd. And thank you all for being a part of the show. And have a great, fantastic week. And don't forget to step out and take a look at the moon. Have a great week, everyone.